Hello and welcome back to another preview episode of the Texas Private School Podcast. As always, I'm one third of your hosting crew, Wes Tollison. Walker Lott joins us from beautiful College Station, Texas. Ryan Schroeder phones in from Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Gentlemen, another great week on the slate for week number five. Walker Lott, an eventful week the previous week, but also a fun week coming up. Number one, how have you been doing? Number two, what are your thoughts moving into the fifth week?
Dude, I'm doing good. We're getting into the, a lot of teams are starting district this week. SBC starts district. Taps D1, most of them start district this week. So this is where the fun begins, as Anakin Skywalker says.
There we go. Ryan Schroeder, same question to you. Eventful week. Your thoughts moving into week five?
It is crazy that we're 5 weeks in. Like, after this week, we'll be halfway through the year, which is just kind of crazy to think about. Doesn't feel like that. It feels like we're just getting started. I mean, we're still in September, but by the end of this week, we'll be even closer to October. I mean, that's all stuff you probably already knew, but yeah, I mean, it feels great. Feels great to get it going.
No, it is crazy. I walked outside today on. It was like 80 degrees. I didn't feel like I was burning alive in my own skin. I was like, oh, it's fall. Football's ramping into gear. Like, it was a fun moment. And it's something even at 23 now that I live for, which I don't know if that's a sad thing, but it's the reality of the situation nonetheless. But that being said, as always on the preview episode, we've got five games to cover. But before that, we have a fun segment that came from the brain of Walker Lott involving around a Mount Rushmore of sorts. Walker, why don't you explain what we're going to be doing here and how it's going to work?
No, yeah. We try to take, ideas from the greats, and one of the greats in sports media and sports podcasting is part of my take. And they had this segment in the summers called Mount Rushmore, where you basically have a topic and you have top four, you do a snake draft and pick topics on it. So our conversation, like we put on our story today, is like underrated things, moments, or feelings in football and other sports as well, but mainly football. Wes, do you want to start us off? Do you want me to? Like, where do you want to start? And we'll go.
We can start, and then we'll do me, you, Ryan, then Ryan, you, me. And then
good.
I'm sure we'll lose track of this at some point. But for now, that's what the order is. But yeah, so we're going to get four each. I will start with my number one pick. My first overall pick for underrated things in football is both the wide receiver and cornerback agreeing not to go hard blocking on a run play. Both
Ooh.
Just kind of taking it easy and taking a break. I know that's not what the coaches want to hear, but there was more than one time in my playing career that I looked at the DB and the DB looked at me and I was like, and he was like, and we just kind of like grabbed each other and ran to the sideline.
Hey, if it's a run play, right, and it's running the opposite direction, you're not going to see it on film. It's perfect for you. Like, that's exactly what you want. That's a good one. That's a really good one. Okay. My first one is, okay, it's a personal passion of mine from back in the day, but I think it's a great one. I think it's putting on and also cutting off ankle tape. I think
Yes.
that feeling of like when you take off your ankle tape for the first time, it's really nice. And then also like prepping it on like game day, getting your ankles wrapped, ankles taped, I guess is a correct term. That's an underrated feeling that I think was superior back in the day.
I will say that I wasn't one to tape my ankles. The only time I did when I was dealing with an ankle sprain, that was like twice in my career, hated playing with ankle tape on. Felt super immobile. But cutting it off, all-time feeling.
All-time
Absolutely.
Feeling. Especially when you get the like the cutter,
yes.
You just slide it right off. Man, it is a superior feeling. Ryan.
Ryan.
Okay, so just so anyone that doesn't know my background, I actually didn't play high school football. So this is going to be a little bit different, probably a little bit of basketball, a little bit of soccer, but also just kind of like the fan or like student experience. I mean, my favorite part of high school football on Friday nights was probably like this, like the fifth quarter feeling and stuff. I mean, I think the fifth quarter feeling of just like hanging out with friends, if those who don't know, fifth quarter, like the right after the game and stuff, like what you do with friends and stuff, like, we always went to the Canes in the Star because there was this Canes at the Star because all the public
Oh,
school kids, all the
yeah,
public
there is,
school kids in Frisco took all the Whataburgers. So we had to go to the Canes instead. And we had that. And I remember one specific story of when we played Prince of Peace at the Star in like the game, they walked in there after they lost. And it's like, You can't walk in here. You lost. It's arcades. You lost. So, all right. That's what's it called.
So
That's
I'll interject a funny moment here, and I literally sent this to y'all earlier this week. There was a game that we played on a Thursday because of rain and had the Friday off, and me and some buddies went and watched a Brook Hill game and probably talked a little bit of mess from the stands, maybe bumped shoulders with some people, and then decided to go stupidly to the Flint Whataburger, which is like two, maybe 2.5 miles north of Bullard. We go and get our food, and then 5 minutes later, all the Brook Hill players start walking in. I was like, I need to eat this quickly and get out of here.
Yeah, ours was always the Whataburger, and us in Trinity Valley would always meet up at like our Whataburger was the same. And so I would ask my friends from TBS after the game, "Hey, how'd y'all do?" "Oh, we were good." And then after we lost against them, we had to meet up at that Whataburger too. So it was crazy times. Good times.
You can't take a Whataburger. I always say like whoever wins gets the spot. Like that's how it is. And then if you're a private school team, you can't take a public school Whataburger. That's just not how that works. So
True.
that's kind of how I thought. All right. My next one is more like basketball related. Or I guess just I guess yeah, y'all have summer camps too and all that kind of stuff. I would say like the summer camps slash tournaments in the summer, like I think it's so fun. It's like that 1 week out of the year where you haven't seen those guys unless it's like summer workouts and stuff. But like for us, like we had this one tournament that we played at Oklahoma Baptist for basketball, and it was like awesome. It's literally just like 3 days up in, some crappy dorms at Oklahoma Baptist, where we were basically like playing 5 games a day. I actually ran with varsity for the first time like ever as like a going into my sophomore junior year or something like that. So that was really fun. We won the whole tournament. I would say like summer tournaments and summer like bonding events and stuff were definitely a key part of like high school sports.
In the same vein, 7-on-7 was that for me.
Yeah.
That maybe if I didn't take the wide receiver DB one, and I would have thought of that. 7-on-7 definitely would have been up there.
7-on-7 Tuesday nights were an elite
Yes.
feeling back in the day for sure. All right, mine. I'm gonna say having like an elite drumline slash band at your games. I think that's an underrated feeling because it adds more in atmosphere. It adds some hype, especially like you see back in the day, I was the guy getting the crowd hype. That was like me. So on third down, getting the band, getting the crowd, like getting them
Third
hyped. Right. Hearing that's like part of it. The third down, like
down.
that's like the underrated feeling for sure.
That is fantastic. Yeah, I've always said how good Grace's drumline is, and that's definitely up there as well. My second one, it's a bit of a niche one, but for anyone that knows, beating a school. Would be especially a rival in town school whenever you're dating one of the students at that institution. That hits like I probably can't say it on the podcast, but it's a great feeling. I mean, it's just
Oh,
like
goodness.
we walked in here and took over, and we're taking the loot with us.
That is a like that is the perfect if you know, you know. Like that's a
Exactly, dude.
very
It's
small, that's
yeah.
wild, but a
Yeah.
respect. That's a respect.
It's crazy how many people never talk about that and have had the exact same experience. Like, I don't, oh, dude, that's so random. Literally, there's literally what I'm literally thinking of an exact game of ours for football that we had. That's so
Same.
random.
It's an elite feeling.
That
So
is
random.
hilarious. All
That's
right,
crazy.
Wes, what's your other one?
Oh yeah, I do have another one. Okay, so I'm gonna say kind of in a similar vein is number three is celebrating a win in an opposing team's locker room. That is a fun feeling. We beat Brook Hill 1 year. I think it was my sophomore year. And for some reason, it was their thing to like sing like the High School Musical song, like we're soaring, flying, yada, 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 that song. And the second we won, we got back in there, plugged up to the speaker, and everyone was just jamming out to High School Musical. It was a fantastic moment.
That's a really good one. Okay. There's mine, and I'm an offensive lineman. So I gotta go with this, right? There's multiple you can do with this, and offensive linemen know you could talk about like the talks in between in the games between the offensive defensive lines about whatever you're gonna eat that night. Like you could do those moments. But I'm gonna say this. I'm gonna say it's kind of a two-parter. In game and then watching film on Saturdays is when your offensive line does the perfect like hole and makes it part like the Red Sea, where you can in moment you know it's perfect, and then watching film you see four left, one right, and it's a gigantic hole, and just knowing, hey, you did your job and it looks beautiful, that's a underrated feeling. So I think being able to watch it on film and in the moment, it's just perfect.
I was going to say, there's never any of those conversations to your first point among wide receivers and DBs, because DBs are psychopaths. They're crazy people. They're coming from someone that played safety. There's no rational conversation. You try to say something, he's like, I'm going to kill you. Like, that's the typical defensive back response.
Dude, I remember a game against Covenant back in the day. I was going at it with this defensive tackle all game long, and we were just going just back and forth, like hitting each other. And then after the game, I was like, "Hey, you want a cheeseburger that we have?" And he was like, "Yeah, sure." And we were just giving them out to people, and he got one, and then we dapped each other up, and we've never saw him since. But like
That's sick.
that's the offensive defensive line relationship during a game. Ryan.
So, man, I think all mine are. I it's funny, but I think one of the best memories. This is so niche. If your school did it, you would know. But if your school didn't do it, and then you wouldn't know. But like taking like fan buses to school night random events that like volleyball games, like random volleyball games or soccer or like these crazy sports that obviously like you just randomly travel to. Bro, this is probably a memory that my coaches would want to forget. I love it still to this point. My junior year, I missed a practice for basketball. It was like some off-season practice. It just was not that important in my head. Not in my coach's heads. But I was like, all right, like volleyball is going to play at Brook Hill. And I was like, I think this would be a lot of fun to go to. And so I went. Our bus breaks down on the way to Tyler and then on the way to board. And basically we show up late when like they basically get us in there. Right as they're about to start is when we can get in there. And then we just start walking in. It's two buses full coming in right as the thing starts. And we're getting hype getting in there. And we're like, oh yeah. And then in the fifth set, because it went to five sets, in the fifth set, we just started singing Mo Bamba to basically like go. I swear that's exactly what we did. And we just go. And of course, any school administrators don't listen to this, but like the school administrators didn't know what we were singing. And so, of course, we're just going. Oh, like the entire time in between points, dude, it was lit. And then, yeah, and then we didn't get home till like 1 a.m. But that was a lot of fun. That was so much fun. I don't care that I missed one random off-season basketball practice. You can sue me. I think my last one. I wish I was going last because this would have been good. But I have to take winning state championships. Back-to-back state championships would probably be the one. Going to three state championships as a student. Being my freshman year, junior and senior year, and winning my senior, junior and senior year for basketball, there's no feeling like it.
Nope. Y'all were cold back in the day, man.
I
That
mean,
was
we are,
cold.
yeah, no, we, yeah, it's just one of those feelings, especially those like Elite Eight rounds at Highland Park on a Saturday. I missed an admitted student's day for that, bro. Come on, it can't be. Who cares, dude? It's Elite Eight round. We got to be going to that, but no, winning state championships has to be on there.
Yeah, absolutely. That is something Wes and I cannot relate to, sadly.
Is that an underrated part? Yeah, sorry. Maybe
Yeah,
not.
I guess it's I've probably properly rated but
Yeah,
underrated because not many people can type of thing.
that's
True.
fair. That's fair.
All right, my last one, and I'm gonna take a whole category, Wes, here. I'm just gonna say rain in general. Okay, I think it depends.
No.
I think it depends. Okay,
No.
no,
Y'all
ready?
see, you sucked.
Let me explain. Let me explain. When it's like 2 days in like late August. And the athletic trainer comes out with like the thing of being like, hey, I have the radar. It's in 8 miles. That's an elite feeling. You know, it's that or like when you're about to practice and it's going for a long time and the rain starts hitting and you're like, okay, we're good. That's an elite feeling. Practices in rain, but also it can't be like cold, cold rain because that's even when it's worse. So
Right.
it has to be that, you know what I mean, Wes, like that middle ground of our, when it's wet, but it's not too bad where it's like terrible.
A safety net from the heat.
Right, exactly. And then rain delays somewhat, but also rain delays also suck. So it's the middle ground of the thing.
I remember, I think I've said this on the podcast before, my senior year, we went and played at Parrish, and that's when Parrish had Preston Stone. They were really good, and Grace was not on that level. And like in like the first half of the first quarter, we got sent back to the locker room for Lightning. And I just remember because apparently Parrish had a game the week before canceled for that. I just remember some big linebacker just ripping off his helmet and going, just F word, just like really, really loud. And we all look at each other, we're like, I pray to God this gets canceled. I don't want to go back out here and play Parrish.
Because that's also underrated because Wes, our senior year, it rained every week. Like
I know. See,
it
that's whenever
rained.
you said
Yeah.
that, it triggered just a
Right.
terrible memory of me of just rain every single week. And as a receiver, that sucks nuts. It's
Yeah.
awful.
Especially also center too. Yeah, it sucks.
That was terrible. I mean, that literally that fall was the most rain I've ever seen ever. And yeah, I mean, it felt like every single weekend got canceled. We sat in gyms for hours on end, basically waiting for games. I went to games at other places where we'd basically have to wait out rain. That year was terrible. It felt like it rained every Friday.
And my last point of this, and they'll move it on to US, is my like asterisk to that for another point is being able after a rain game when you're completely soaked, being able to put on warm clothes. That feeling is so cool. And I have a vivid memory my freshman year against Grapevine Faith getting beat 40 to nothing and going into the locker room after being on a rain delay for like an hour in a bus at halftime, going back out there and losing that bad. Going to the locker room and putting on full sweats, warm sweats, and it was an elite feeling.
Just your
That
average Deuce
is
Hogan game.
average. That was before Mr. Hogan showed
Oh
up, and
shoot, that's crazy too.
that was the year before. Yeah, he whooped us all. Anyways.
Doesn't matter. They're all there.
Yep.
But yeah,
Wes.
my last one's a bit underwhelming because I kind of got all my big ones out of the way in the top three. But the fourth one is for me, it's sitting in the back of a classroom on Friday morning, just devouring film like it's the gospel, just like trying to find any holes you missed the first time around. Just because, like, obviously, to compensate for my natural lack of athletic ability, I was a film rat, and all I did was watch film. This goes back to the last story I'll tell is I remember it was Bishop Gorman week, kind of the week that kind of tied into me going and beating that team, the point that I made earlier. And I remember I had my iPad because we had iPads and just like watching film in my AP US history class. My teacher walks by, looks over the iPad, just grabs my iPad and walks back to his desk. And I was like, you don't understand the gravity of what you've just done. This could cost the school. Like, you're going to bankrupt. If we lose to Gorman, the school's over. But yeah, no,
Don't understand what you've done to me.
that literally is almost
Oh
verbatim what I did. Like, and I wasn't kidding at all at that point. Like, that's how serious I took high
Dude,
school football.
that one random girl that's sitting in the corner. Why is he getting so upset about an iPad?
While Wes
It's
Tolson
why does
crashes
it
out in the
matter?
corner,
Yeah, Wes Tolson crash out.
I just sat there. And
I need iPad.
I was like an iPad kid, dude. It was bad. But yeah, no, that was a really fun segment. I'm glad we did that.
Do
That
you have
was
any honorable mentions that you want to quickly say? Because I have a couple that I can just
go with
list
your
off.
honorable mentions because the rest of mine kind of stink.
Okay, ice baths. I love ice baths. It's that in cryotherapy was awesome back in the day. A good punt. Watching a good punt nowadays is a great part of football. Opening new cleats slash gloves for the first time. That was a great feeling.
Gloves, yes. Cleats, well, opening the cleats, yes.
Like
Putting
for the
them on before they're
box.
broke, putting them on when they're not broken in stinks.
I think the post-game meal on the bus ride home, and then on Saturdays, the meal while watching
Yes.
film, great times. Having a good run-out song. I think some people don't have it, some people do. We had a great one back in the day. That was awesome. Okay, this is a. I don't think they sell these anymore, Wes. Do you remember those little Gatorade Chew squares? Did y'all ever
Yes.
have those?
I never partook in them, but I've seen them.
Dude, I don't. They were like crack at our school, bro. Like if you had a package of them, they're like, "Hey, would you got some?" Like it was that type of mentality. Yes, back in the day. Final two, having freshly washed practice pants. Like you're like a couple days and you grab them home, come home, and you're, like, you put them on for practice and it's not like sweaty.
It's not the rank, yeah.
Yes, that was nice. And then I think, like, for, especially for offensive linemen, putting on like multiple layers for game day, like tights, then your knee braces, and then like your pants, like having your legs basically constricted, but like you know it's ready to go because it's game time. That was an elite feeling. Those are my choices.
Absolutely.
I only got one is literally just the fact like playing at like the sunset games right in the beginning of the year
Ooh.
before it gets like the time change and stuff. Like those sunset games are incredible. All I gotta say, we have to do a flip the script one, like the four, like
Worst.
some of the worst ones,
Yes.
because bro, I'm just thinking about those winter soccer games, man. Winter soccer games. I have stories on stories on stories. Those games were terrible.
I remember my friends on the soccer team be like, "Hey, come support us." And I'm like, "It's 32 degrees out. No, I will not."
Nope.
But
Well, I mean, shoot me a live stream, maybe.
real, but Wes, I'm shocked you didn't do any music. I'm shocked about that. I figured that would be something you would do.
So
It's
I was
private
go
school, bro. We don't do music.
my one relating to music was going to be running out in a stadium that doesn't have game time music playing because we had game time and it
Oh, we had
sucked.
game
It
time.
was awful.
Can we talk
On
about the
main time.
can we talk about game time for a second? I don't
Yes,
really
for
care how long this
no. I'm
episode
not done
is.
with my rant yet. I'm not
Yeah,
done with my
go for
rant.
it. Go for
It's
it,
just
King.
short. I will never stop my unending onslaught on game time sports music. It is the biggest hunk of crap ever put on this planet. If you want to ensure that you give to at least 2 or 3 points to the other team in way of unmotivation to your own players, play game time. I understand that we can't be blaring Mo Bamba and Kanye
Yeah.
West more explicit music at a Christian school. Find a happy medium. There's some DMX songs that we can censor that will be fine. I don't want to hear Chris Tomlin running out of the tunnel. Sorry. It's
It I heard
so
One
bad.
Direction on pregame while warming up one day. I'm not even gonna lie to you. You said when, you know why I keep saying you can't hide that eagle pride? Because the saying goes, you can't hide that eagle pride. This
Yep.
is game time. Like at Southwest Christian School, home of the Eagles. I have it
So
memorized in my
bad.
brain because of
Oh
what
my
game time did to
God.
my school. It is the worst. I remember going, me and a couple guys are my junior year went to the athletic department. It was like, here is a list of songs. We got them like clean. They're ready to go. It was like good, like Travis Scott interludes that were just no music, just beats. Like it was great. It was a great list. Did not hear one song all season because it was game time instead. I will never forgive game time. It is the worst thing ever created for high school sports. Ban it, burn it, leave it out of private school.
Yet again, I fully understand that's like we're representing Christ and there has to be like a standard of stuff we play. There is a happy medium. There is music
Absolutely.
that doesn't make me want to take a nap at the 50-yard line that we can play before game. Again, I'm not going to turn the rest of this episode into a game time rant. It needs to be done away with.
There's
That being said,
instrumentals for a reason.
exactly. That being said, that glorious rant that'll probably end up on no context in some way, shape, or form, will conclude our Mount Rushmore segment. I actually do think in the next few weeks we'll come back with a sneaky bad things
Yeah,
in football or something of that nature. But with that wrapped up, the only thing left to do is pregame or is preview our five games of the week, starting with St. Michael's at Antonian Prep. Antonian is a 27 and a half point favorite. This Friday, undefeated St. Michael's Prep will travel to San Antonio to take on the 1-2 Apaches of Antonian. The standout guy for the Warriors is still senior linebacker Utah Anderson. Anderson made the switch from safety to linebacker in the offseason and has been a terror on fronts this season, and he will need to be accounted for by the Antonian Hogs. Quarterback Nico Anderson is efficient, and no one player really stands out on offense. It is run by a rotating committee of guys, whether that is run or pass. Antonian, on the other hand, has had a rough go of it to start 2024. With two blowout losses to Houston Christian and Regents to start the season, sorry, that's Holy Cross, not Houston Christian. Mikey Moreno and company need a win badly in this spot to take a step forward, making a push for a district title. And I think they get it here. St. Michael's has dominated bad teams in Katy St. John's and St. Andrews. They eked out one against a mediocre Grapevine Faith team. Antonian has disappointed, however, against two of the top teams in TXPS. Again, St. Michael's looks markedly improved from last season. It's just like you mentioned, I'll speak more to this. Antonian looks like they should have the dudes to play well. I can't see this going on long enough with those athletes that they just continue to kind of trot along in the mud. I think this is the game where they get back on the right path.
Yeah, you think, you know what? I'm gonna go with you there. I'm gonna go Antonian this one, kind of for the same reasons. Rogan Parson, I believe, has it, and he has the tools around him to be successful. Mikey Moreno is probably a top 10 running back in taps this year. He's a great player. I think they get it done here. St. Michael's still has a lot to prove. Do I think they're on the right track? Absolutely. Having being 3-0 in this type of environment is great, and I think they're on the right track. I just don't think they're to Antonian level yet. But there's got a lot to learn from this game. Antonian lost bad against Regents, bad, and they can't have that happen again. If this is a close one, we have to watch and reevaluate Antonian Prep wholeheartedly. This is a must-win game for Antonian. Yeah, that's really it for me. Ryan, what are you thinking?
It sucks because, like, clearly one of these teams is 3-0, and clearly one of these teams is 1-2. And I have been, I mean, I picking Antonian, you know, it feels like I feel like I picked Antonian against Holy Cross, and I was pretty sure of it. I thought Antonian was going to play better against Regents. You know, I still had Regents, but I thought Antonian was going to play better. Truly, man, it's hard. It sucks because, like, I see St. Migo's 3-0 and stuff, but truly, it is a. The guys are the size that they are, and I know that doesn't always, you know, equal the skill off rip, but you just have to feel like it's going to come eventually, like you said. And Michael Moreno, I feel like, gets it done this week against St. Migos. Austin boys heading down to San Antonio. I don't know, man. I really think this is where Antonian proves that those are just really two hard non-district games that they lost. And when it comes down to, you know, this Antonian matchup, that they actually get it done in a meaningful time.
Yeah, we will see. I'm still gonna ride with Antonian. It's just the slow start's a bit concerning, but as I mentioned, I think they've got too many guys to not get it done in this spot. Moving on, Lutheran South at Houston St. John. St. John's is a 28.5 point favorite. Lutheran South has very quietly gone 4-0 as they enter a matchup with SBC 4A title contender St. John's. Quarterback John LeBlanc, running back Scott Farron, and wide receiver Braden Robinson have formed a three-headed monster for the Pioneers and have garnered themselves several impressive wins, including SBC 3A contender Houston Christian. However, St. John says this same SBC 3A, the Mavs look to have their best shot in recent memory to challenge the 4A crown behind stars such as Cole Allen, Shea Quinn, and Malachi Booker. Even coming off of a close loss last week at the hands of Second Baptist, the Mavs still have the mindset that they can play with anyone in the state of Texas. We do have a measuring stick for these two teams. Lutheran South beat Houston Christian 31-17 week one. St. John's beat Houston Christian 32-17 week two. So if we're using the transitive property here, it says that St. John should be 1 point better than Lutheran South. That's never failed me in the past. The transitive property always works. In all seriousness, I think St. John's has the potential to be special this year, and far be it from me to bet against the machine that Cole Allen fuels. I really do think that, again, if there's any year in 4A that St. John's makes a title and possibly wins one, it's this year. I think Lutheran South is much, much better. I really like Braden Robinson. It's just St. John's is really good this way, and I think they're going to eke out a win here, albeit I don't think by 28.5 points, but I've been wrong before. Walker.
I have two words.
Yep.
Cole Allen. That is my pick. Go St. John's, go Mavs.
Ryan Schroeder.
You know, I mean, I watched the full game last week. I could tell you that game was That game was St. John's, or I don't want to say that. Actually, Second Baptist. It was Second Baptist to lose toward the end. I will say this though. If LSA, I mean, this is going to sound obvious, but if LSA can stop Cole Allen and whatever Wildcat offense they run with Cole Allen, like that is truly what was to the detriment of Second Baptist toward the end. Second Baptist doesn't win that game without that last play, obviously, but they were going to lose it to the Cole Allen Wildcat, it felt like. If you can even put the brakes on Cole Allen, you win this game. You've clearly shown it. You're putting up over 30, 40 points a game. You clearly can score. It just comes down to the fact of whether you can start, stop their star player and play with their guys. But with that being said, Cole Allen is Cole Allen. If they run the Wildcat 40 times in this game, I say they score 40 times out of 40. Give me Cole Allen and give me St. John's by. Yeah, I'm gonna say I don't think it's nearly 20 and a half. I'll go 14 points for St. John's.
I like that. I think that is respectable. Speaking of Second Baptist, the Eagles go and play at Kincaid, where Kincaid is a 22 and a half point favorite. In what could turn into one of the games of the year, Second Baptist will take a short drive over to Kincaid to initiate another battle of the Birds of Prey. Following a close game with Gunner in week one, Kincaid has rattled off three straight wins, the most impressive of which being a 33-15 win over Regents in week two. Wayne Shanks, David Capobianco, and Jordan Manuel have proved to be viable weapons for the Falcons as they continue their race to the top of SPC 4A. However, they will come up against one of the top contenders in TAPS Division II. Second Baptist is undefeated and has already clipped two 4A contenders in Episcopal School of Dallas and St. John's in the previous week. Coupled with a dominant win over Fort Worth Christian, Toon, Butler, Thomas, and Lee have their eyes set on state, and a win in this spot could cement them as state finalist material. But I like Kincaid too much. I've mentioned it at length. I have bet against Kincaid several times early in my career, and most of those times I have been wrong. Even if it appears to be against superior talent, like those Episcopal teams back in the earlier years, that being like 2021, 2022 for us. I like Kincaid. They went out and had a really good showing against a good Gunner team. Wayne Shanks is the truth, and I'm now familiar that Jordan Manuel is too. And you got David Capobianco back there. Couple that with Larned's scheme. I think this is the margin is a razor's edge. I think whatever this game ends up being, it's going to be very slim similar to the Second Baptist St. John's game last week. I think Kincaid wins by 3, 7 points at most, but if you're forcing me to make a pick, my pick is Kincaid. Walker.
This is a fun one. This is a
It is.
game we've kind of been circling behind the scenes for the past couple of weeks. This is a big one. Both teams are really, really strong, have a lot of firepower. But I've learned to not pick against Kincaid many, many times. But I've also learned to not pick against Cannon Toon. I'm picking Second Baptist in this one. Cannon
Whoa.
Toon, man, he's been proven to be a sensational player this year. He's on an all-time just nonstop firepower, electricity, making things happen week in and week out. And yes, Jordan Manuel, Wayne Shanks are those talented receivers, and they can do whatever they want on offense. But there's just something about Cannon Toon this year that I think is going to put Second Baptist over the edge. He finds ways to win, and I think he finds another way to win here. But this is going to be a lot of fun. This is going to be a very exciting game. I'm very excited for this. Ryan, what are you thinking?
I mean, how many clips have I clipped of Cannon Toon to Allen Thomas? How many times have I just sat there and I've been like, Cannon Toon to Allen Thomas? Cannon Toon, makes his way out of the pocket. Cannon Toon throws a pass across his body 50 yards down the field, wins the football game. That's really what's been happening. And let me say this, a Second Baptist seeming to play every single SBC 4A team that they can get their hands on, playing ESD beating them, playing, gosh, now
St.
play,
John's.
playing Kincaid, played St. John's last week. I mean, they're playing everyone they can get their hands on in these 4A teams. But like, I listened to the Gunner broadcasters describe how good Kincaid was in that first week. I saw when Kincaid beat Regents, a team that is just flat out nuts. Jack Devine is his own man. St. Thomas is still St. Thomas, no matter which way you look at it. They're still going to be one of the prominent teams in the south side of D1. You can't convince me that Kincaid isn't going to win this game. Capobianco has been there for years at this point. He's feeling like, who do I? Alan Bowman. He feels like he's been there way longer than he should have been. I don't even know how the guy has eligibility. He's probably actually just a normal senior, but it feels like he's been there forever. Wang Shanks is that guy too. Give me Kincaid. I love Cannon too, and I love Alan Thomas as the boys, but Kincaid's winning this game to end their non-district slate.
That's an all-time pick. That's an all-time clip from the podcast. I like that a lot. I also forgot that I explicitly told the Second Baptist admin through email that I would never bet against Second Baptist again. So if I lose this game, I'm going to hear it on a lot of fronts. So that will certainly be interesting. Moving on into the penultimate game we will cover. Cypress Christian at the John Cooper School, a game that Walker Lott will be live and on site for this Friday. John Cooper is a 3.5 point favorite in the Woodlands. And what should be an interesting Taps versus SBC matchup, Cypress Christian travels to John Cooper to attempt to go over 500. Cypress Christian had an interesting offseason. State champion head coach Chris Hogan has exited the stage, and as far as I'm aware, the AD stepped in as head coach of the team. Cypress has beaten Crockett and Kip Sunnyside on the season. Beckett Sweeney still mans the ship at quarterback, as well as Dean Maystayer at wide receiver and Maximus Supley and Tucker Goodall in the trenches. In terms of John Cooper, the Dragons dropped their first three games but got a blowout win against Magnolia Legacy last week. John Cooper has talent in Jake Sneed, Michael Breaux, and Colson Collins. But I think this boils down to the fact that Cypress Christian has John Kelly and John Cooper doesn't. I mean, we've spoken at length. He's a Kansas commit. Whenever he transferred into private school, it was huge news last summer, and for good reason. He's impressed to a large extent. Walker's seen him live and can speak to the extent of how talented he is. It'll be interesting to see if this game's close or not, because outside of John Kelly, Cypress is good. They're not great. I think John Cooper is decently solid across the board, and obviously Jake Sneed is very good. So you have kind of a storyline of two really good talents facing off. I'm going to put my money on the TXPS proven John Kelly and hopefully just ride with that. Walker, your thoughts?
I'm going to go opposite of you. I'm going to go John Cooper in this one. Colson Collins is a good quarterback over there. They have weapons like Colton Roden and other guys. You know, we are really big fans of 27 tight end Jake Snee, of course, as multiple colleges are as well. They haven't started the school, they haven't started the year off well, yes, but they've played tougher teams than I think Cypress has as well, you know, losing to Concordia, losing to Lutheran South, and beating Magnolia Prep. But having Magnolia Legacy Prep under the belt and having a big win, 57-6, is impressive. And I like Lutheran South only losing by, I think that's a touchdown. Like, it's a pretty good Lutheran South team this year. I like John Cooper in this one. It's going to be a fun one. It's going to be interesting to see John Kelly and see how good he does. Because, yes, if John Kelly dominates, then it could go Cypress's way, but I'm going to trust the linebacking core of Colton Roden and others to really kind of hold the ground for John Cooper.
There we go, Ryan Schroeder.
I'm gonna be completely honest with y'all. There's a lot of names I just, have lost throughout the process and all this kind of, I mean, I say this every now and then. I've lost a lot of names over time. For me to see Dean Calhoun on a roster still, and for
Yeah.
me to know that name, and for
How
him
did
to
I
go
miss you,
for
Dean
a,
Calhoun?
yeah, 25 rushes for 114 yards and three touchdowns against LSA, a team that we're also pretty high on, and for Colson Collins to be balling like this, and for me to be a Cypress hater. No, I'm just kidding. But no, for real, honestly, there's not a lot of guys I know. I covered John Cooper a couple years ago, SBC 3A championships, and this team has obviously changed ways. They're not in SBC 3A anymore. They're now in SBC 4A, which is going to be a huge challenge for them this year. And I think right before you start your district schedule, you got to challenge yourself. And with a Cypress team that's got, it's got talent, but more or less has a Kansas commit, that's going to be a huge problem for them. I think you ride high off your 51-point victory against Legacy Prep, and you show it to Cypress as they come to town. Give me John Cooper here.
That's interesting. I didn't realize I would be the only one on the side of Cypress Christian, but I like that. If it falls my way for the pick record, it will be beneficial.
I can't believe
Moving.
this is the first time Ryan Schroeder is finally back to being the totally real hatred of Cypress Christian in
No.
this.
I have a couple other schools this year though, which is good. This is good. Not to mention
TBS. Yeah.
TVS is in there. Actually, it might just be TVS. I think this is TVS, and then Cypress is kind of closing its doors. So TVS is taking over.
I'm sure we'll add a couple in there as the season progresses. But let us move on into the final game to preview for this episode. Houston Christian at Oak Ridge, where Houston Christian is a 26.5 point favorite. On Friday, SBC breakout squad Oak Ridge will host the Mustangs of Houston Christian. The Owls have started out 4-0, absolutely dominating Cistercian, Corumdale, and Temple Christian. The Owls will look to Luke Dearman, Cole Worthington, and Dylan Lamphere to potentially change the course of SBC 3A. However, they have to go through Houston first. The Mustangs are 2-2 with wins over St. Pius and St. Andrews and losses to LSA and St. John's, albeit neither egregious. Even with the losses, I still think this is Houston Christian's game to lose. Close-ish games to St. John's and Lutheran South mean more to me than wins over Cistercian and Corumdale. I think Oak Ridge is a great story up to this point in the season, but there's not a, I mean, they've won some of these games in very convincing fashion, and they're obviously not a bad team if they're blowing bad teams out. There's a level of separation there. I'm just not convinced they're in the echelon where it means they're competing for a state title in SBC 3A. I think that's limited to Houston Christian, Trinity Valley, and after Country, I got beat by TVS. It might just be Houston Christian, Trinity Valley, like we thought all along. Oak Ridge has a great chance to prove me wrong here. They've got some dudes that can play, see Cole Worthington, but I'm gonna take what I know and take Houston Christian here. Yet again, I've been wrong many times. I'm reasonably confident in this. Give me the Mustangs.
This is gonna be a fun one, man. I'm really excited for this one. Yeah, this is the chance for Oak Ridge, who were kind of just middle of the pack the past couple of years, right? They've always been a solid team, but nothing great and nothing really low. They've always just been pretty mid in SBC 3A. This is the year that kind of be like, hey, we're about it this year. And it's gonna be interesting to see if they can finally be about it. I don't think they get it here, though. I'm a big fan of that running back of theirs, Kate Gulledge, over there at Houston Christian. I think he's electric, and you combine him with Anderson Jones and Greg Gudry. I think they have some weapons over there for Ron Rice. So I'm going to take Houston Christian this matchup. Do I think that Oak Ridge doesn't have a chance at this one? No, I think they could surprise a lot of people. Yes, they haven't played much caliber of teams yet, and so that also definitely played in my pick, but you never know, man. You never know. Ryan?
Man, I'm about to say the exact same things y'all are. To keep it short and sweet, you play two really good teams on the road at their place, and you put up points against them. That's impressive to me. Ron Rice and Greg Goodry, as I say, Greg Goodry, are both guys that I think are super talented for Houston Christian. And yeah, I mean, overall, it just comes down to the fact that Houston Christian, is just built for it more. I mean, the non-district slate was definitely harder. And I think with the first district win over St. Andrews being by that big of a margin is definitely impressive as well. But I have been an Oak Ridge fan, which is just I want to mention that because I think the story is great up until this point, but you just run into a brick wall with a team like Houston Christian. But it is in Arlington, which is something to consider. Houston does have to go up to Arlington. Yeah, I think Houston Christian gets it by a couple touchdowns.
I think it'd be hard to argue the opposite, but the problem is the teams that Oak Ridge is playing, we don't know how good they are. We know they're a lot better than bad, but that leaves a wide range of possibilities at
Right.
that top end. It'll be fun. Again, Oak Ridge is a really good story up to this point in the season. Seeing them go 4-0, this will be, take a shot every time we say measuring stick. This will be the measuring stick to see how good Oak Ridge is actually, because Houston Christian is a good gauge of that sort of thing. But all that being said, that actually is all of the content that we have for this episode. Very excited for this week, Ryan.
Oh, sorry, I put my finger.
Oh,
Yeah,
you
where's he gonna be?
Oh,
Oh.
that's fair. I wasn't even gonna say that, but I should say that. Well, if you listened to the space last week, you will know that I will try to be at Legacy at Parrish. I am returning. I missed my 5 year reunion, no, 4 year reunion, something like that, on last Friday alumni night. So it was kind of sad that I missed that at Legacy for homecoming. So instead, I'm gonna go watch them play Parrish in the hopes that they continue the 500 streak. You know, if you get one against Parrish, you don't have to get one against Bishop Lynch. So,
Wait, Walker, is this our 5-year reunion of high school?
yeah, it's five for y'all. It's four for me. I think it was just an alumni
This
night
is
after that.
year 6 of college.
Yeah. So it's
Yeah, so it's
five.
5 years since you graduated. You
I don't
would
like
have
that.
graduated, yeah.
I don't
So
like that.
ours was 4 years. Anyways. But we had an alumni night and I missed it and I was sad. So instead, I'm gonna go watch my team play Parrish, which I'm excited for. But no, I'll be there. I'll be in attendance. If you see me, say hi. Be the first time I've gone out to a game since St. Mark's at Cassidy. So you can say I'm pretty excited.
Heck yeah. I think again, I don't think you should go into that thinking it's going to be an absolute bloodbath. I really, this is in all seriousness, I think Legacy is very, very solid.
I got y'all.
Like I do. I mean, crazy things happen. I think Paris will win, but I think Legacy will have a good showing at least for a while. It'll be interesting. But as always, I think this was a fun episode. We'll bring back more Mount Rushmore type content in the future. It's always fun just to add little wrinkles in there. Thank Walker a lot for that. But barring any additional comments from the Peanut Gallery, as always, I have been one third of your hosting crew, Wes Tolleson. Walker Lott and Ryan Schroeder have fantastically been themselves. We will see you on Monday in the recap. See you later.